Going to begin with a look at the General Assembly, though. General Assembly has been out of session for a few months outside of committee meetings, but lawmakers are set to reconvene for their short session soon. What can we expect to see this year and not see this year? State Senator Greg Meyer is a Democrat representing Orange County. He joins us in the studio for a legislative preview. Senator Meyer, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Aaron. I want the radio audience to know that when that theme music comes on, Aaron still bobs his head and taps his foot, even though he's heard it every morning for the last few years.
You know, the problem is I love that song, but now every time I hear it, like in the wild, I have to like get into work mode. It's the strangest thing.
Pavlovian.
So what are you expecting to see in Raleigh this year?
So this is short session year. Short session means we're only supposed to be there for 6 to 8 weeks. Who knows?
Right.
Our sessions have tended to go longer than predicted the last decade. And we're really only supposed to do a limited number of things, the biggest one being updates to the budget. The budget got finished so late last year, almost to November, that I don't know how many updates there will be, but there were some problems in the budget that I think will have to get fixed with what we call technical corrections. So there will likely be some budget update. What will there be on controversial stuff? We've seen the Speaker of the House say that he thinks that we'll likely do some type of immigration enforcement bill. Likely the bill that we saw last year that didn't go all the way through that would force local sheriffs to cooperate with ICE on immigration. I think there could easily be some bill that is trying to put limits on the university system's engagement in DEI practices. We heard one of the UNC trustees talk about that at a recent meeting. So there will be some culture war bills. I'm sure that they want some things that they can run on in an election year. In terms of substantive legislation, the big things that were left undone last year were whether or not we pass a marijuana bill, whether or not we take up casino legalization again, and then, of course, there's the stuff that we should be focusing on. What are we going to do to make sure we have clear, fair election processes this year? What are we doing for education? There's a lot of talk right now about child care and the funding cliff that's coming for early childhood care centers. So there's some substantive stuff we should take up, but my guess is the headlines will be about those culture war bills.
Education and child care are both very budget issues. So in a year where the focus should be on the budget, what do we expect to see or not see when it comes to the schools, for one thing?
I don't know what we're going to see on education. What we saw last year was really a focus on the vouchers and charter school expansion. There's certainly a lot of talk right now, big stories out after this week's State Board of Education about the rate that we're losing teachers.
10,000 in the last year.
Yeah. We can't do that. I mean, it used to be that it was hard to recruit teachers into poor rural school districts. And now even our local districts, Chapel Hill Schools, Orange County, some of the best funded in the state, are struggling to recruit teachers. But there's not been any desire by my colleagues who are Republicans who run the General Assembly and set the budget to do anything significant and meaningful about that. And I just don't see them addressing it. I think they've shown that it's not a problem that they want to address. And in many ways, they want to see education fail and struggle. It's very sad.
Speaking with State Senator Greg Meyer. So the last time you were in here, you said something right at the very, very end of our conversation, which I wasn't able to follow up on because it was right at the end, but it stuck with me ever since, which was the thing that finally got Republicans to move specifically on Medicaid expansion, but there was another issue we were talking about as well, was just pocketbook arguments. Like, this is good financially for the state. I have to assume that that argument can easily be made on issues like education, marijuana legalization, and things like that. Like, what's the tipping point to get over that hump on the economic argument?
Yeah, I mean, so let's point out this, that the Republicans eliminated the corporate income tax, and so they've blown a hole in our budget. And if you look 4 or 5 years out in our budget projections, we get to the point where we start to have structural deficits. We've never had that in North Carolina before. That's a problem. Mm. And so they do have to look to figure out how do you fill that hole. And that's why they were pushing the casino legalization, was they thought that casinos would fill that budget hole. If we head into this year and we don't pass casinos again, there's not going to be a lot of extra money. You won't be able to see a big teacher pay raise or state employee pay raise. So what is the back pocket impact? And back pocket both to families and back pocket to local governments, school districts. you know, Republicans will hear about it from their own people when their school districts can't afford to keep teachers. So there will be some pressure on them, but they're certainly not going to raise taxes. Maybe they'll do some type of sin tax, casinos or marijuana legalization. But the bill that they have in front of us right now to do just medical marijuana, it actually costs the state more than it raises, because administering a medical-only marijuana program is actually pretty expensive. Mm-hmm. You have to monitor it and everything. And so it costs the state about $38 million a year, which makes me think that's part of the reason why it hasn't passed yet. I would support a full legalization, which would generate $200 million in revenue, possibly.
And so, I'm from Michigan. I mean, they did medical marijuana for a couple of years, and everyone was so wink, wink, nudge, nudge about it that it was just ridiculous from day one. Right.
The regulators, you know, would tell you, just go ahead and do full legalization. Mm. So we really should be talking about those big picture things of how are we going to have enough revenue. But that it's not the way that, the leadership works.
Speaking again with State Senator Greg Meyer. So you've heard from local officials. They do the legislative breakfast all the time and meet with you about their legislative priorities for the coming year. What have you gotten from county commissioners, town councils about what they want to say?
School funding, both, you know, for teachers and for facilities. People need money to help keep up the facilities. Sewer and water has been a big ask, another infrastructure fund. And again, something that if we had enough revenue, the state could play a major role. And we have sewer and water problems all over the state. Mm. The child care issue is a big one. And that is one. The reason why I think that one is more likely to have some money put into it this year is that the Chamber of Commerce has actually stepped in. And our Chamber of Commerce is pretty far to the right usually and doesn't really want a whole lot of social spending. But they've recognized
that's
that
the State Chamber of
State
Commerce,
Chamber,
right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. The North Carolina Chamber of Commerce, not the Chamber.
Aaron Nelson's
Chamber.
Pulling over to the side of the road, picking out his phone right now.
Sorry, Aaron. they have realized and been quite public in saying, like, we have to keep these child care programs running or else people won't be able to go to work. And so their members who are thinking about their employees know they need that.
What's a way to raise revenue without, like, putting a big additional tax burden on, like, working families?
Well, not eliminate the corporate income tax would be the biggest one, right? I mean, I think most people get it that it's kind of ridiculous that corporations right now are paying about 50% of the tax burden that you and I are as individuals. And we have a corporate sector that is doing really well. They can afford it. And our tax rate for corporations, which is 2.5%, is about 50% of the lowest of all of our competitor states. So we already have a really advantageous tax situation. There's no reason why we need to take it from 2.5% to 0%.
One other issue that probably isn't going to, I assume, see a lot of action this year because they just did a big thing on it last year, but you've been speaking out really strongly against what they did, and so have a lot of folks on both the left and the right in this case, is open records law and transparency for legislative officials when it comes to public records.
Right. So in the budget, there is a provision that exempts legislators and the legislative branch from the state's public records law. It's really kind of groundbreaking for any state to go backwards on public records access. It's usually the type of thing that once you've opened the door on public records, it's really hard to close it back again. And so they have gotten criticism, especially from media organizations on the left and right. My colleagues on the right have been very quiet about it. But to be honest, so have a lot of my colleagues on the left. I turned over 10 years worth of email records to one reporter who made a public records ask for them. But no one else has done that on the left or the right. And I think that speaks to why it's so important that you have a strong public records law. If you leave it up to individual legislators, they will always choose to think about what records to leak or not leak, but give to, you know, give to the public in their own favor. But our work is paid for by you. I'm voted for by you. Everything that I have should be yours. It's preposterous that I would get to choose what to keep private. And in the law, it even says, not only can I choose to not give it to the public, I can destroy it or I can sell it. Why would you sell records? Hmm. The only thing I can think of is that it's some type of corruption or cover-up.
I think one of the things you said in that article, because I read it the other day, is, and this is paraphrasing, but we have open records law and we really shouldn't have to. Like, if you're a legislator, you should be walking into the General Assembly knowing I represent the people, my business is the people's business, the people is the government, and the government is the people, and they should be one and the same, and that's what a democracy and a republic are both all about. Like, open records law shouldn't even be necessary in the first place.
That's always been my assumption as a citizen. If the government's doing the business, it's my business, I should be able to find out what it is. Like, and then we have a process for that. Everybody knows what a FOIA is. FOIA is, you know, an acronym that's become a word because so many people know what it is. And so I think it's unforgivable that our legislature has decided to do this.
Speaking with State Senator Greg Meyer, looking ahead to the General Assembly short session this year, but as we start to wrap up this conversation, another issue that you've been really focused on behind the scenes for a while, but now kind of out in public, is this push for turning the rail line through Chapel Hill and Carver, that coal line, into an actual greenway with cool space and housing and commercial development on the other side of it. Right?
I'm really excited about this project. I think this would be the most transformative thing for Southern Orange County that we will see in the next 40 years. And I want people to just think about this and understand. So UNC still has a cogeneration power plant that uses some coal and some natural gas that provides heat and steam for the university. And they do want, and they've been collaborating with us in a process for this planning, they want to eventually eliminate their use of coal and figure out how to use other forms of fuel that are non-burnable at that plant. Once they do, so it's an order of operations, they've got to figure out how to make the transition to another energy source, which isn't easy. Once they do, you can shut down that rail line. That rail line goes through downtown Carrboro. It goes through neighborhoods in Carrboro and Chapel Hill, including the ones that are close to Sewell Elementary, Smith Middle, and Chapel Hill High, which those schools have never had walk zones because the rail line goes right next to them. So all of a sudden people could walk to school. It goes up through the Green Tract that's going to eventually be developed. It goes through Carolina North and next to the airport, which is the largest tracts of land that we have available for any type of future use in the southern part of the county. And so you could have this multimodal greenway if people would walk and bike along the largest tracts of land in our big commercial core, excuse me, in Carrboro, which all of a sudden could, which could all be usable, and we could develop housing, we could have economic development, you could have non-automotive transportation. I mean, this would really be a very new thoroughfare in Southern Orange County, opening up all kinds of possibilities.
And right now, it seems like a lot of folks are excited about it. Had a lot of good feedback from the Carrboro Town Council. UNC's on board, which is always like a big step to make that happen. But UNC folks are getting on board with this as well.
Yeah, so the process has been relatively quiet for the last year. We're now moving into a formal part of the process. But having the university, local governments, community advocates all at the table is pretty phenomenal. We're bridging a lot of gaps that have existed in this community.
Speaking with State Senator Greg Meyer, and we got to wrap up this conversation, but as we do, obviously we'll talk to you again in a month or so, but right now, message to residents ahead of the General Assembly, message to Chapel Hill Carrboro residents about that greenway, and message to voters ahead of the 2024 election.
I mean, for the General Assembly, this is a good time to tell us what you want us to be working on with the with the Greenway
project.
How
many times I've had to swallow coughs like desperately for like a minute long monologue? It's awful.
I need to improve my cough swallowing skills. For the Greenway, I think, you know, we're having conversations with the local governments about it. When people start to hear about this, we want you to know that eventually there's going to be a process where we're going to engage the community. And what do you think should happen alongside this Greenway? What should we do for redevelopment of the properties alongside it? And then for the election, there's a lot at stake this year. So study up on the candidates, find ways to get engaged. Thanks for having me here.
Again, State Senator Greg Meyer, thank you so much.